All right, good morning. It is time to begin. Welcome everyone and all. Good to have you folks with us today. Let's give our visitors a round of applause. Always good to have visitors with us. All right, outstanding. Well, we've got some, we've got some, do we have any announcements before we do the birthdays? Yes? All right, men's and ladies Bible study tomorrow night at 7 o'clock over in the Sunday School building. All right. Got the big galvanized orange pumpkin can back there for your candy donations for the fall festival. We do a big fall festival every year, kind of a trick-or-treat alternative. And not trying to scare kids, just trying to fund kids up and love on them. That'll be over in the gymnasium coming Halloween night. We call it Fall Festival here. And so we invite you to help us get them all sugared up, amen, before we send them home. And so we need lots and lots of candy, lots and lots of candy. So if we could fill that thing up, that would be great. So please do that. All right. And so those are our announcements. And you had your hand up? Yeah? Hunter leaves tomorrow for boot camp. Okay, going to California. All right, what's the base in California? Pendleton in California. Okay. Well, we thank Hunter for his service. Very good. Thank you. All right. Well, very good. Moving on to birthdays now. Here, y'all ready for the birthdays? All right. Maddie Breyer's in the house. Maddie, how you feel, girl? You're hanging in there? Good to see you, baby. Amen. All right, very good. She's back from surgery. She gets Timex Award today. Amen. Takes a lick and keeps on ticking. Amen. Had surgery last week. Here she is with us today. All right, got some birthdays for you. Okay. Well, you guys sneaking up here around. What y'all doing? My birthday is Tuesday. It says here on this card I have birthday on the 26th. Yeah.
Does it say on the card how old you are?
I'm going to be, you know, I ask everybody, you know, every week, how old are you going to be? I'm going to be 56. Wow. Now, the good news for me is I can't count. And so I thought I was 56. And my wife finally convinced me. She goes, "No, you're 55." And I said, "Really?" She goes, "Yeah, you're only 55 years old." So I thought I was 56 for about 9 months. So now I really am going to be 56. So that's a good thing. Amen?
Anyway, this is from the elderberries.
Elderberries. Thank you, elderberries. Thank you. Very good, elderberries. Outstanding. All right. So Pastor Lee got a birthday on the 26th. Then we got Nicole Thornton Fernandez on the 27th. How's she going to be, girl? 34. Then we have Carolyn Tosh. How's Carolyn going to be on the 27th? 18. Then we got Jay Hudson. How's Jay going to be, you think, on the 29th? He's got to be my age. 50. The big 5-0. All right, outstanding. Very good. Well, y'all want to sing some happy birthdays? Let's do it. Amen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Many more. Amen. Well, Stan, if you can, we're going to sing Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen. He is risen. resurrection of our Lord. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen, he is risen, and he lives forevermore. Resurrection of our Lord. He is risen, he is risen, and he lives forevermore. He is risen, he is risen. Come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Amen. Redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. Amen. Higher and greater will be our one. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come here today to worship your holy name, lift you up on high. And Lord, we just want to thank you for all our visitors today. Lord, we got a good crowd here today, and we thank you for that, Lord. And we just ask you to be with our pastor as he brings a message this morning. Just put the word on his heart. Let it be spoken the way you want it spoken. May the Holy Spirit touch each and every one of us this morning, Lord Jesus. And may we take the words outside this door. And Lord, we are having the Lord's Supper today and honoring you, Lord, in remembrance of you, Lord. And we thank you to be able to do that today. And Lord, we just give us so much, and we just give just a small portion back, Lord. And we just thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. And all these things I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Come to the table of mercy, prepared with the wine and the bread. All who are hungry and thirsty, come and your souls will be fed. Come at the Lord's invitation, receive from his nail-scarred hand. Eat of the bread of salvation, drink of the blood of the Lamb. Come to the table of mercy, prepared with the wine and the bread. All who are hungry and thirsty, come and your souls will be fed. Come at the Lord's invitation, receive from his nail-scarred hand. Eat of the bread of salvation, drink of the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
All right, Children's Church, making a dash for Children's Church today. Going to make a dash for it. We're making a dash for Children's Church. We're getting out of here while the getting's good. All right. All right, very good, outstanding. Amen. Oh, we got some more. We got some more coming. Hold up. All right, for the rest of you, let's take a copy of God's Word. Turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy Inerrant Word. Those of you with us online, good to have you as well. Again, visitors, thank you for being here. We're going to be observing the Lord's Supper, open communion. It's open communion. What do you mean by open communion, preacher? I mean this. You don't have to be a member here to receive the elements and participate in communion with us. It's not closed. It's open. Now, you need to be saved in order to take communion, correct? Amen? And old Pastor Lee prefers you be kind of the same flavor. What do you mean by that? Well, you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, right? So well, what if I was baptized like a Pentecostal Assembly of God church or Nazarene church? I would ask that you probably not receive the elements, right? We want you to be the same flavor as us. We believe baptism is an act of obedience after we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, right? Nothing holy about the water. You don't get an extra bump when you get in there. There, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you got everything when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? So if you want to come here, but your baptism's not like ours, then let me baptize you. Amen? Get moved and come on down and say, I want to be a part of the church. And we'll baptize you by immersion as an act of obedience. And the next time we observe the Lord's Supper, which will be in December, around Christmas Eve time, Christmas Day, you'll be good to go. Amen? And if you say, well, hey, I didn't get to do the Lord's Supper today because my baptism wasn't in order, but I want to do the Lord's Supper, you holler at me, and man, we'll meet together after a Sunday morning service, and we'll let you observe the elements, and I'll pray for you. We'll have our own little Lord's Supper, okay? So we'll get you done. Amen? So is it open? Yes. I'm not a member here, but I'm the same flavor as you guys. We want you to participate with the Lord's Supper with us. Amen? All right, Mark chapter 14. Have you found that passage? Beginning in verse 12, we'll take it through verse 25. The Word of God reads this. It says, on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he himself will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Prepare for us there. The disciples went out and came to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12. As they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, truly I say to you that one of you will betray, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They began to be grieved and to say to him one by one, surely not I. And he said to them, it is one of the 12, one who dips with me in the bowl. For the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. While they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take it, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Let's go to him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this great opportunity, this great privilege, this great honor it is to remember today, to come around the table as your church, and Lord, to fellowship around these elements. And Lord, we pray that we'd take heed to the Word of God today. We'd receive it. We would apply it. And Lord, this Word would change us, make us more into the image of Christ. Lord, as we go through this, may we realize that you're here with us, that your presence is here, manifest. And Lord, you want to touch, you want to help, you want to save, you want to convict, you want to bring people to repentance, you want to bring people to victory. So Lord, may we be a part of that. May we be submissive and obedient to the moving of the Spirit in our own hearts. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, the Bible says Jesus and his disciples were reclined at the table. They were probably arranged in a small circle around a low table, not sitting in chairs like at our houses, but around a low table, reclined on their left elbows. In Jewish culture, the left hand, that's the hand you took care of business with, that hand was considered unclean. And the right hand was clean, so they would only eat with their right hands. Now, as we think about this passage, as we think about the atmosphere, the environment in which they were in, there are some important foundational truths that Jesus shared at the Last Supper. These are things you've heard your whole life, but that's the part of it. We're going through this again because we're remembering. Amen? We're remembering. Number one, the Lord's Supper involves careful preparation. We read in the passage that Jesus sent some of his disciples into Jerusalem and told them to find a room and to make preparation for the Passover. Every spring, the Jews commemorated the time when they were slaves living in Egypt and were getting ready to be delivered from that bondage. And God, you remember how it goes? God called Moses to tell Pharaoh to set the Hebrew people free from their bondage. And what did Pharaoh do? He turned his nose up to God. He refused God's word. And God sent a series of plagues, 10 plagues, to warn Pharaoh, but Pharaoh still refused. So God sent that final, that deadly plague. Now, God warned the people that on a certain night that the death angel would arrive in Egypt. And the firstborn child in every family would die unless people followed his specific instructions. He told them to take a young lamb and slay it, and then take the blood of that lamb and smear it on the doorpost and lintel of the door of their houses. After that, the lamb would be roasted. And the family members would walk in under the blood, and they would have a meal, which they would eat all the roasted lamb. Whenever the death angel saw the blood of the lamb applied to the doorpost, he would what, church? He would pass over that family, and there would be no death. But when there was no blood applied, death would visit that home. For those who obeyed God and trusted His Word, they could rest inside knowing that God's judgment would pass over them. Isn't that a beautiful thing about salvation? Isn't that a beautiful thing about our relationship with Jesus? The judgment passes over us too, right? So for the Last Supper, here in our passage, Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. For the Last Supper, what preparations were required? Well, Passover was a 24-hour celebration that started at sundown on the 15th of Nisan and ended at sundown the next afternoon. The day-long Passover observance also ushered in a week-long festival called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Right? Unleavened bread. For an entire week, the Jews only ate unleavened bread, which today is called matzah or matzo. They ate unleavened bread to recall how quickly they had to leave Egypt. And over time, as they thought about it, and over time, as they went through it, yeast came to represent the evil influence of the Egyptians that the Jews were leaving behind. Yeast came to represent sin. Leaven, also mentioned, talked about, or yeast, same thing. What is it? It's a tiny little organism that seems powerless, but when you put it in flour and water, it goes to work and changes the entire shape of the dough. And once the leaven starts working, you can't stop it. You cannot stop the leaven. So the preparation for Passover involved preparing the food and drinks, but it also involved going through a house and making sure there was not a speck of leaven present anywhere. And to this day, Jewish families conduct a deep cleaning of their home to remove any trace of leaven leading up to this Passover observance. Some historians believe this is where we get the tradition of spring cleaning our homes. Now, before you partake this memorial meal today, this meal of remembrance, you need to make some preparation. You need to do some personal house cleaning. But I'm not talking about the house where you live. I'm talking about the house where Jesus lives. I'm talking about your life. Amen? The Jewish practice of getting rid of all leaven is a strong reminder to us that we should constantly be getting rid of the sin in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 says, "Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Amen? That's a good spot to say one. So as we prepare for this meal, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to shine His searchlight into the deepest dark corners of your life. Is there anything there that needs to be swept out? Are there bad habits? Is there anger? Is there resentment? Is there lust particles hiding in there? Sweep it out. Clean it up. Amen? The Lord's Supper involves careful preparation. But secondly, this morning, the Lord's Supper requires self-examination. Now, usually the Passover meal was a happy family celebration. But you got to understand something. There was a somber mood present at this Last Supper. A somber mood. Have you ever been at a family meal, but because of something that was said, the mood was ruined? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. And when the mood goes, there goes your appetite as well, right? Yeah. Well, this was a tension-filled meal. Jesus, he dampened everyone's spirits. Notice what he says here in verse 18. As they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Now, oh, I want to tell you, all of them, I mean, they were struggling here. All 12 of the disciples, they went around the table and they asked the same question. Verse 19, they began to be grieved and to say to him one by one, "Surely not I." The grammar here in the New Testament Greek, it really has them asking, "It isn't me, is it? It isn't me, is it? No, it can't be me. I'm not the one to betray you, Lord." There was doubt. Peter, John and James, "It isn't me, is it, Master, Teacher?" Matthew, Nathaniel, Simon, it isn't me, is it, Master?" Judas Iscariot, "It isn't me, is it, Master?" Right? You getting the tension here? But of course, Judas, he knew he was the one. He knew. Now notice, you got to love the grace here. You got to love Jesus' patience here. You got to love the love of God here. Notice that Jesus did not point his finger and call Judas out, did he? Instead, after the same question from all 12 disciples, he said what he said in verses 20 and 21, and he said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who dips with me in the bowl, for the Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man had he not been born." Well, what do you think Jesus is doing here? What do you think's going on, preacher? Well, I think Jesus was giving old Judas a chance to repent, a chance to say no, a chance to correct his mistake. Jesus warned Judas there would be tragic consequences to his bad choices. Notice here, the disciples did not suspect Judas. Judas was the treasurer of the group. Judas was the one who held the money. That's the one you trust the most, that you give the money to. Each one honestly wondered if they would betray Jesus. They conducted a spiritual inventory and saw that the potential to fail the Lord was there. We go on from Mark's account to Luke's account, and we find that Peter was the only one who spoke. Remember what Peter said? Peter bragged that he would die with Jesus, and that he would what? He would never leave Jesus. And we know that that boast turned out kind of cock-a-doodle-doo, didn't it? Yeah. Cock-a-doodle-doo. That one's how that one turned out. And so that night, one disciple betrayed Jesus. Another disciple denied Jesus three times. But before that night was over, all the other disciples ran away into the night, leaving Jesus all alone. Right? At the meal, these disciples had to examine their hearts. Before we eat this meal, we should do the same thing. Examine our hearts. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, "But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat the bread and drink the cup." And these were the closest followers of Jesus, and on that night, they all failed him. Now, what have I said to you as you're going out the door today, shaking my hand or patting me on the back or saying, you young whippersnapper, you're only going to be 50. You know, as we're saying goodbye today, what if I looked you in the eye and I said, hey, watch out. One of you is going to fail the Lord in a huge way this coming week. What if I said that to you on the way out the door? The wrong response for you is, no, not me. I could never fail the Lord. Be careful. There may be a rooster around somewhere you start saying that, right? A more humble response would be, it's not me, is it? Oh, it's not me, is it? Come on, Pastor, not me. Regardless of how you close, regardless of how close you are to the Lord, there is the possibility that you could fail Him. That's why we all need His grace. We need His grace every minute of every day. Every day of every week of every month of every year of our lives, we need His grace. So examine your hearts this morning. Number three, the Lord's Supper, it symbolizes a powerful representation. Now, our Catholic friends, they celebrate Mass, that's what they call it, every time they meet. And one reason they do that every time they meet, celebrate Mass, is because they teach that the bread literally becomes the body of Christ. And that the blood, the wine, it literally becomes the blood of Jesus. To them, it's a miracle. It's called transubstantiation. That's what our Catholic friends believe. Now, have you ever wondered why magicians, they often say, when they're about to show you something, a trick, or the conclusion of it, they'll say, hocus pocus. Especially the young ones, right? Hocus pocus. The phrase comes directly from the Latin words a priest speaks over the bread. He says, hocus est corpus meum. It's exactly where that comes from. Now, what do we believe the Bible says about the elements? Because we kind of have a different take on it. We don't believe that this bread literally becomes the flesh of Jesus. Nor do we believe that this grape juice morphs into the real blood. To us, the bread represents the body of Jesus. The cup represents the blood of Jesus, right? See, Jesus left us a powerful, symbolic teaching tool to remind us of His sacrifice. Jesus was not trying to institute some kind of liturgical observance. He was giving us a simple memory lesson. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" See, the bread and the cup and the bread, are symbols. But what they represent is very, very real. Very real. At the meal, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And He gave it to the disciples. And in the same way, Jesus' body was broken. The soldiers broke Him down through torture and abuse. Now, to fulfill Scripture, not a bone of His body was broken, but the whip, it shredded the flesh on His back. His brow was broken open by the crown of thorns. His hands and feet, they were broken open by the nails. And His precious blood was poured out that day to make atonement for our sins. And you know what atonement is, right? Atonement. Everybody say that. Atonement. You know what that is. Atonement, right? At one meant atonement. Once a year, the high priest observed Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. He would take the blood of a lamb without spot or blemish. He would move aside the thick curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the world. And he entered the Holy of Holies and he would sprinkle that blood, he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. But when Jesus, when he died on the cross, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, 6 inches thick. The dividing of the temple was God's way of saying, the splitting of that curtain was God's way of saying, a new way has been opened to my presence, the very blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? You get to celebrate that new way today. If you're saved, you are living that new way. Amen? You're living that new way. Which brings me to my fourth and final truth. Number one, the Lord's Supper involves careful preparation. Number two, we've said the Lord's Supper requires self-examination. Number three, we've communicated the Lord's Supper symbolizes a powerful representation. And finally, the Lord's Supper produces joyful anticipation. Joyful. Theologians call this the Last Supper. It's in there, isn't it? Talks about it, the Last Supper. But that's not really what it all is it? Jesus looked forward to a time in the future when he would be alive and he would celebrate a feast in the kingdom of God. This feast will be a future time of reunion, a future time of refreshment, a future time of rejoicement. Amen? We're going to rejoice that day. Mark 14:25, what does it say? Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Now those who know and love Jesus, man, you will be invited to a great wedding banquet in heaven. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be great, right? Now, we read of these words in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and verse 9. It says, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. Verse 9 says, then He said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said to me, these are true words of God. So you're invited today if you're saved, right? Will you accept His invitation? Right? Have you given Jesus your RSVP? Amen? Yes? There's a deadline to accepting your invitation. If you don't know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, there's a deadline to it. If you die before you accept this invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the invitation becomes null and void. So, friend, if you've not made your reservations to this wedding banquet by receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to make them today. Amen? Your confirmation number, can I give you your confirmation number? It's J, as in Juliet, N as in November, 316. 316. J as in Juliet, N as in November, 316. You got that? John 3:16. That's your confirmation number. Amen? Amen. So as we close our eyes and as we bow our heads this morning, I wonder, Jeremiah comes to lead us in song, I wonder if there's someone here among us that hasn't made that reservation, that doesn't have that confirmation, that needs that touch from the Lord. This thing we call salvation. I wonder if there's someone here among us. Jeremiah comes in a few moments. He's going to begin leading us in a time of invitation. We talked about this self-examination, right? There may be some time we need to spend in the altar, right? Searching with that light of the Holy Spirit to get those things out of the corners and the crevices of our lives that don't need to be there, right? We may need to come to the altar and do that, but there may be somebody here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They've not received that confirmation number, right? In a few moments when we stand, that's the invitation to come down front and say, "Preacher, Pastor, old man Lee, right? Can you tell me what it means to receive Christ?" I can. Oh, I live for that. That's the high point of my day, high point of the month, high point of the year, to get to share with somebody what it means to receive Jesus Christ, right? That what? Hey, man, you're a sinner. Hey, but you know what? God took care of your sin, right? He sent Jesus to die on the cross to make atonement for you. And so you as a lost person, you as a sinner in need of a Savior, you need to receive the free gift of salvation. You need to receive Christ into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior, right? You mean I can get my fire insurance card today? No, friend, He is in charge. He's going to be in charge of your life for eternity. Your Lord and Savior. Lord, boss, in charge. Savior, taking you to glory one day. Amen? Both and, not either or. Amen, amen? So you could what? You could step out today before the table's uncovered, before we transition to that part of the elements. You could step out today and you could get the confirmation number. And what is it? It's John 3:16. It's JN 3:16. Don't forget that, right? That's your confirmation number. Keep up with that. You might need that. JN 3:16. Amen, amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity, privilege. Great time, Lord, to come together as a body of believers and come around the table, receive the elements. Lord, there are those here that certainly need to perhaps maybe come to the altar and let that searchlight ferret out some things that need to be removed from their lives before they receive the elements. But Lord, there may be some, one or two, three or four, that don't know you. They know about you. They know some Bible facts around you, but they don't know you as personal Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord, that before they get off this property today, they will have received you into their hearts, into their lives as Savior and Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you want to do in us, for what you want to do for us. Lord, we seek to bring glory and honor to your name today. May we continue on in that direction here this morning. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, the altars are open. I'll be down front. Jeremiah's going to be leading us in song.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
may be seated. Thank you all for that good singing. We got a few decisions for you today. As I announce your name, just come on up. We got Nathan Marquez. Come on up, Nathan. Amen. And his mama, Kelsey Cofer. Come on up, Kelsey. Right? And her mama, Tammy Stanball. Come on up, girl. Amen. They want to be a part of New Hope Baptist Church. So if you're excited about their desire to be a part with us, signify by saying amen.
Amen.
All right, very good. Well, y'all can go back to where y'all came. And then at the conclusion of the service, join me back there by my office. And when people come by, they'll give you the right hand of fellowship. You've already filled those out, so you're okay. You just bring the ones you filled out. Next Sunday, we'll have a record of it. Amen, amen. All right, so men, if you'll come down, those are going to help with the Lord's Supper, deacons. You want to sing something while they're preparing? All right.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me.
Can you give me a pause? All right. Give me a good pause right there. All right. We're going to have you, if you will stand back up at this time and make your way down two rows. If you'll form two rows there in that middle aisle, you can go this way. Watch my hands. I used to direct airplanes to park. You're coming like this, and then you're going like that. You're coming like this, and then you're going like that. And you're more than welcome to stay down here. If you want to climb up in the choir loft with us or sit on the altar, you're more than welcome to stay down here. You want to line up along the wall, you're more than welcome to line up along the wall. You don't have to go necessarily back to your seat, but we want you to come down and get your elements, okay? Very good. Now you can start singing again. Thank you.
Let us drink the cup together on our knees. Let us drink the cup together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me.
Thank you, brother. All right, got the bread. I got it. Thank you, brother. All right. So don't spill your juice. If you do, that's okay. But try not to spill it. If you spill it and you need another one, holler. We'll get you another one. Amen. All right. Everybody got elements that wants elements? All right. The Word of God reads this. While they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank him, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for his body that was nailed to the cross. We thank you for that body that was broken, back shred, brow busted open, hands and feet broken open with those nails. Those nail-pierced hands and feet, Lord, we praise you and thank you for your willingness to step out of the glory of heaven and to tabernacle, to tent among us and live as your people live without sin, without blemish, You live perfectly among us. We praise you and thank you for your body today. Thank you for the wonderful gift. Thank you for the atonement that it makes. You took our place so we wouldn't have to die up there. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, shall we eat? In the same way, the Word of God says, and when he had taken a cup, he gave it thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine till that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Let's thank him for this cup. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again, and we thank you for the gift of the blood. Jesus, we're so blessed and honored today and privileged, and just fill in our hearts how set apart we are to be a part of your new covenant, to have the blood of Christ over our lives, so that when the Heavenly Father looks upon us, he doesn't see our sin, but he sees his Son. Thank you for the blood. Every drop that was spilled out on that whip, every drop that dripped down from that crown of thorns, every drop that came out of the teeth sockets when they were beating you about your head, every drop that ran down that old rugged cross, we thank you for every drop of it. The blood come out your ears, Lord. The blood come out your side, out of your eyes. We thank you for all that blood that was shed for us. We rest in it. We celebrate it. We thank you for it. Lord, may we be reminded, may we remember that we're different, that we're a chosen people, that you've called us out from among them. So, Lord, may we take the message about this blood and this bread. May we take it and scatter it far and wide. Because of this blood, because of our covering, because of our salvation, because of this great relationship, because of, as the Bible says, because of a new covenant, may we spread the message far and wide. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Shall we drink? Word of God says, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And as I always say, we don't have a Mount of Olives, but we do have a hymn. Amen? And so as we sing the hymn, our deacon brothers will be in the back. They'll be making preparation. And every time we observe the Lord's Supper, we always take a benevolence offering. So their Bibles will be open. And that's for you as you are led. You can place cash or check in there, and it goes into a benevolence fund as people have need. We're able to use that money. So, amen? Let's sing Brother Jeremiah, and after the song, you'll be dismissed. We love you. We'll see you back tonight, some of you at 6, for our evening message, Bible study. Until then, we can all say it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Stan Ball, Kofer, and Marquez, here we go.
As we drink this cup,
already?
We worship you. As we eat this bread, we honor you. As we offer you
right here,
our lives as you have offered yours for us, we remember all you've done for us. We remember your covenant with us. We remember and worship you, O Lord.